for our New Testament lesson, Luke 2, 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is the word of God. It is true. Now, if you'll remain standing, our hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High, 238 in the red hymnal and on your screen.
Amen. There's some of these songs I wish we would sing more than Christmas. You may be seated. And that is one of them. I almost picked to sing today, and I'm so thankful that Rich played that during our That's getting all muddled on me. He played it. Did you play it for the offertory? I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Yeah, offertory, prelude, offertory. I was gonna sing that, but I thought I don't want to have a downer of a song on today because it's a little bit of a downer. But I think it's a really good, as I've meditated on our text this morning, it's Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. And it was read during the lighting of the Advent candle, the fourth one today. That fourth candle represents peace. And there are some things about Christmas that as we get older, if we're not careful, we can get really cynical. And our temptation is to make Christmas only about children and baby Jesus in a manger and about our traditions that we've had in the past. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if that's all it becomes, we miss the point. And as I've gotten older, and, you know, as we all get older, there are things that happen, there are tragedies that happen, and, you know, we lose people that are dear to us, and traditions that we had, we no longer have now, because those people are gone. And it's hard. The Christmas season can be really, really, really hard and painful. Or, you know, you have a situation like Abby, you know, with there's something, and we're thankful for baby Henry, but there has to be a sense of distraction with the Christmas season. And I know people right now that have lost little ones, that have lost babies, you know, and so they're mourning and they're grieving. And it's hard. Christmas can be hard because we have these expectations and then we have our reality. But the beautiful thing about Advent and about Christmas is Jesus came. He came. And that's beautiful. And so let's not make it about those other things. And when we lit the candle of peace, we're like, well, good night, man. Look at the world. Look what's going on in our nation. Are you kidding me? Peace? Peace? The angel's saying peace, goodwill to men. It's like, God, do you know how crazy things are? Do you know? Do you know? And I just want to read to you this, the words to I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's a poem by Henry Longfellow. And there are more stanzas to it, but I'm just going to read the ones that are in the celebration hymnal. And if you could put that on the screen while I read it, if it's up there, if Nate can find it, thank you. And just hear this, because I think this is the beautiful message of Christmas, and it's a beautiful message of what we're going to talk about today. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along through unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Father, I thank you. That your word is true. That your peace is an everlasting peace. That you sit in heaven, Lord, and you're not wringing your hands, but you are seated on the throne. And you're coming back to make everything right. We will not wring our hands. We will not bow our head in despair. But Lord, we look and we look to you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, as I just give a little homily, a little exhortation on Isaiah 9 today, Lord, I thank you that your word is powerful and it's effective. And Lord, I pray that you would come. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you mind the depths of the beauty of this word today. Lord, if we've read it once, many of us, we've read it 100 times. But Lord, as you've done for me this week, and you've opened my eyes to more of the beauty of this text, I pray, Lord, we would see it, that we would encounter it, that it would be true in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for the peace that you died to give us. Holy Spirit, come. Anoint me. Anoint your word. May we encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent is a time when we remember his coming as a baby, and we look forward to his second coming. And as I have meditated on this text today, or this week, I just, like, Lord, I'm not sure there's a better Advent text in the whole Bible than this. So I want to read it again, and this morning we're just going to have a Bible study. Not going to spend a long time on it, but I just want to go through it verse by verse by verse and hear the word of the Lord. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. As we look at this passage in light of Jesus, in light of his coming, in light of his death and resurrection, in light of him coming back, what nuances do you see in this passage of scripture? Just want to pull out a few things. Verse 1, there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. How many of us sometimes just feel gloomy? We feel overwhelmed. How many of us oftentimes, not often, hopefully, but some of us maybe it is often, do we just feel in anguish? We look at what's going on in the world and we're in anguish. We're in torment. We look at some of our people that we love that have made bad choices and we're in anguish about it. That's part of living in this world. That's part of living in a fallen world. And I love the word of God because it doesn't hide any of that. And the beauty of this season is Jesus came into the midst of that. He left glory and he came. If you're in gloom this morning, if you're in anguish this morning, it says in verse, still in the latter part of that, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. What's Isaiah prophesying about? In the gloom and in the anguish, Jesus came. He came. He became a human being. I want you to see in verse 2, there are several words here that are not translated because it seems redundant. But even in the translation of this, do you see a repetition of words in verse 2? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. 4 different times in Hebrew, it's using words for darkness. It's only translated 2 of them here. The people who walked in darkness. Sometimes this world seems dark, doesn't it? Sometimes our path seems dark. It's not fair that babies die. It's not fair that babies are in NICU. That's not right. There's something not right about that. There's something dark about that. That's not God's intent. That's not his intent. And the word there that says those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, that's the same word in Psalm 23 that's translated in the King James Version, those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the same word. Those who walk in darkness, those who walk in deep darkness, those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what Advent is about. Advent is about in our darkness, in our despair, in our brokenness, in the sin, in the things that are not fair, in the deaths that are not fair. What has happened? What has happened? Do you see the promise in that? Those who walked in darkness have what? Seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, what has happened to them? On them has light. Light. Jesus is the light of the world. He came and he is light in the darkness. In verse 3, again, there's a repetition in verse 3. And again, our translators translate to get all these words in there. Do you note a repetition in verse 3? You have multiplied the nation and have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. Isaiah is likening the joy that's going to come into a great harvest. And as we've moved away from agrarian culture in our culture, you know, many of us are removed from harvest. But in this time, when there was a great harvest, there was great rejoicing in that because it meant they weren't going to starve. They were going to have food for the winter. They were going to have food. And he likens the joy of the Lord to a great harvest, to great abundance, and that we're going to have what we need. We're going to have it. And Isaiah says the nation has multiplied. There's no more death. There's going to be an abundance. And when the angels sang at Jesus' birth, and I tried last week to tell you about the symphony of joy that's repeated in the Old Testament when Jesus came, and in heaven there's going to be everlasting joy. That's the inheritance we have in Jesus. He came. He came in our darkness. He came in our sin. He came in our sorrow. And he wants to give us joy. It's not just a trite thing. It's not just an angel's song. There are sermons that I look back on over the past year, and as a preacher, you want to hit a grand slam every single week, man. You want to have just a, whoa, like a great sermon. But there are some Sundays you get up and you foul out to right field or you strike out. You know, you don't hit home runs every week, and you surely don't hit grand slams every week. But one of the grand slams, I feel like you may all differ with me on this, but one of the grand slams that I feel like I preached last year that it just has brought me a lot as I've meditated on it. Last year, about a year ago at this time, I preached a sermon called Christmas is for Old People Too. And it was talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had been praying for a long time. And it seemed like God wasn't going to answer their prayer anymore. And yet God came and he answered their prayer when it was impossible. And Simeon and Anna, and how Christmas is for old people. And those of us that have prayed for things for a long time, those of us that are maybe in darkness today, those of us that feel gloomy and in anguish today, Christmas is for us. It's for us. Because he brings peace in the midst of chaos. He brings joy in the midst of darkness and despair. And as we go on in this passage of scripture, as I read, not this next part, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but the names of God, I want you to be thinking about what is it about God that you really need in your life as we go through this. Verse 4 and 5. When I was in seminary, in my Old Testament class, this was my final exam. And this was my final. And I got to verse 4 and 5, and in Hebrew, man, it's really graphic. I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is disgusting. Like, why is this even in the Bible? For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. We've got beautiful stuff before that. We're going to have beautiful stuff after that. Why in the world is that in there? That's, you know, fuel for the fire, or, you know, war stuff. What's going on there? In the midst of a chaotic world, Jesus is king. And he's coming back. And he's going to set everything right. Revelation 19, verse 2 says, For the Lord God, the Almighty One, he reigns. He reigns. And he's coming back. This world is full of war and rumors of war. But he's going to take all of that stuff. And he's going to, and it's all going to be burned up. And the beautiful promise in those passages of scripture, in those verses, is that he rules and reigns. And he is king. And he's going to defeat all of it. He's going to defeat all of it. All of the chaos, all of the war, he rules and reigns. Why? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government, it's a very interesting little word there. That little word for government, it's only here in this passage of scripture, in Isaiah chapter 1, that time in here. For his government, you can translate that for his dominion, for his authority. Government, dominion will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You can say, we put those together, but you can also keep those apart too. Translators aren't quite sure. For his name shall be called Wonderful. That word there is a word for marvel. He's the one that's marvelous. His name is Wonderful. He is wonderful. Wonderful Counselor. The word there for counselor is a word, it's kind of a political term, which we, you know, like, oh no. But in Isaiah's day, in the Old Testament, kings would have counselors around them. They would have advisors. Cabinet has advisors around him. And God's name here, he's wonderful, he's marvelous, Wonderful Counselor. He will come alongside us. He gives us wisdom. He is our wisdom. How many of you need a counselor in your life? Not like a therapist. Some of us may need a therapist, but but we need advice. We need help. We need somebody to counsel us. Like when if you go to attorney, we need counsel. That's who God is. He's a wonderful counselor. He will come alongside. The Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside and will instruct and guide us. How many of you need that? I do. He's a wonderful counselor. He's wisdom. Mighty God. Mighty, strong. That word there's like for a strong man. He's a mighty God. He's not sitting up there impotent, can't do anything. No, he's a mighty God, and he rules and he reigns, and he's able to make all things right. We pray, we want baby Henry to live. I've been praying that that cleft palate wouldn't be there, it'd be gone. But he's able, even now, he's able. He doesn't always do what we want, always do what we ask, but as children asking our Father, we're going to ask. And he's mighty to save. He's a mighty God. Amen? He's mighty. Everlasting Father. So I've been meditating on that this week. This is the one that broke me. Everlasting Father. This summer we went through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven. He defines what fatherhood is. Jesus, he's the image of the Father. He's good. He rules and he reigns and he loves us. And he's never going to leave us. He's the eternal one. Which one of these do you need to hear today? Wonderful Counselor? We need wisdom. We need help. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. That word for prince can mean captain. A captain or a prince. He has it all. You need peace. You need peace. Peace in your mind. Peace in your heart. He's got more than enough to give. We lit this peace candle this morning. And Jesus is the giver of peace. The writer of Ephesians, Paul, says that he is our peace. He destroyed that barrier between God. And Jesus, in his coming, in his death, and his resurrection, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can have peace that passes all understanding. Peace that doesn't make sense. Peace when there's all kinds of crazy things going on. Because he lives. This Christmas, as you open your gifts and you have the traditions of your family and you do what you do, which of these do you need to know the most? Do you need light in the darkness? Do you need joy? Do you just need to be reminded that he's a mighty God? He's an everlasting Father? He's Prince of Peace? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And God did it that night in Bethlehem. He came. And of his government there shall be no end. People, that's manifested through us. We are ministers of peace. We are ministers to a lost and dying world in our family. Whoa, how many of us have family members that need Jesus? Oh, it makes me weep, my family. Got people that need to know Jesus. They need to know him. How are they going to know him? It's through us and other people that show and share the love of Jesus Christ. Remember this Christmas, that in our darkness he came, in our sorrow he wants to give us joy. He's a mighty God, he's a wonderful counselor, he's an everlasting Father, and he's a Prince of Peace, and he wants to be those things to you. Pray with me. Lord, as our shepherd and as our Father, you know what we need. And Lord, I thank you that Christmas is for old people too. And Lord, many of us are old, not so much in body, but our spirits are old. And we've grown cynical, and we've grown hard. And I'm reminded of the Grinch. Our hearts have become pretty small. And Jesus, I thank you that you came into our darkness. You came into the valley of the shadow of death. You came, and you are light in the darkness. And Lord, those that need light this morning, I pray, Father, for eyes to see. Lord, I thank you that you give us beauty for ashes. You give us joy for mourning. And I thank you, Lord, for the promise of joy that's in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be a people that would overflow with joy. Those that are just sad in their hearts this morning, Lord, I pray that you would give them joy in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those that wring their hands and are just despairing over the state of the world, Lord, I thank you that you're going to burn all that up. No more wars. And Lord, you are the King. The kingdom of our Lord has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. I thank you, Lord, for that promise. I thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful counselor. Lord, you are our wisdom. You are wonderful and you are beautiful. And Lord, where our image of you has become so small, and we may be crying out, Lord, where are you? Lord, I pray you would give us eyes to see you afresh and anew. That you are wonderful, that you are marvelous, that you are a marvel, and you are a counselor who comes alongside us. You're a mighty God. You're an everlasting Father, and you are Prince of Peace. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would bless your people today, that we would know these truths about you. Lord, the one or two that we need in our lives, Lord, I pray that it would be made manifest. We would cry out to you. Lord, I need to know more what it means that you are my everlasting Father. Open my eyes. Lord, open our eyes where we need to know that you're the Prince of Peace. Open our eyes, Lord. We thank you for the baby in the manger, that baby who came to die on the cross and give us peace. I pray, Lord, it would be made manifest as we go forth to our families, as we go out to a world, Lord, that desperately needs to hear of your love and your peace and your joy. We bless you and we honor you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have an opportunity this morning to, it's been in the bulletin for a couple weeks, the white gift offering that's going to go to our conference, our kids. So Rich is going to play. He's going to play through a song, and I just encourage you to come, and we're just going to march up here, and you don't need to come. You just come as you feel led, and you don't have an offering. That's okay. We don't want you to feel compulsed to give, but just come, and let's give our offering unto the Lord. Bless it, Lord. We pray blessings on this offering. Lord, you'd use it for the kids in our conference in Jesus' name. Please stand and let's sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. tonight. I promise it's not going to be a long service. It's going to be about an hour long. It's not going to be long. And just a night to just rest in the Lord, hear the story, sing the carols, and go have fun. So just encourage you to come and invite people that maybe we haven't seen in a while. Pray with me the covenant prayer. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, thank you, your light in the darkness. Thank you that you're joy in the sorrow. Thank you, Lord, that you're a mighty God. You're a wonderful counselor. You're an everlasting Father, and you're the Prince of Peace. I pray, Lord, that all of those things would be made manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.